Welcome to Uncluttered and Unfiltered, the podcast urging you to let it go and don't look back. With nationally acclaimed professional organizer Christine Stone and self-proclaimed hot damn mess radio and TV personality Eden Kendall.
Welcome everyone to Uncluttered and Unfiltered. Today's episode is very much one that you helped us create by answering a couple of questions on our Ladies Only Uncluttered and Unfiltered Facebook page. And we're going to get to that topic, which is things that bring you back. We're going to talk a lot about music. We're going to talk a lot about smells. Yep. Because of all of these different categories of senses, those are the two that I actually did a little research, believe it or not, and found out why those are the two senses that trigger the memories the most. Oh. So we're going to talk about that. But first, this is the start of our fourth season. So we're changing.
I can't believe
things.
That. Can you believe that?
Part of me can't, and then part of me can't imagine a world where I didn't have you to catch up with on a regular basis.
I know, me too. I feel the same exact way.
So, yeah, isn't that true with everything in time? Like, sometimes you're like, how did the time go so fast? And other days you're just like, man, this feels like it's forever.
Yes.
So I feel like it's very much that way. But anyway, that being said, we're going to start segmenting these episodes in that we're going to start off with a segment that we call What's on Our Radar, which is where we can talk about things that we've been noticing, things that maybe are pop culture references that may not hold up if you're hearing this, you know, a year after it was recorded. So just bear with us if that's the case. Then we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and talk about our topic. Then we'll take a quick break and we'll come back with an organizational tip. So that's the new format. Hope everyone is buckled up because we're going to start with what is on our radar. We've each picked a few things and we'll go back and forth. So we'll start with your first radar thing, Christine. What do you have?
Well, my first radar thing, and everyone's probably like, how is this old lady like so into this? But it is Ella Langley. I am obsessed with her new album. I love every song on it. Each one's better than the other one. And I was watching the music video to Choosing Texas, and everyone was correlating it with Urban Cowboy, which I don't know if you all remember my Urban Cowboy story on how I ended up going to school in Fort Worth, Texas, but it was because of Urban Cowboy. And when I was watching this video, I said, oh my God, this is exactly like 80s country. She brings back old school country, which has not been done in a really long time by a female artist. And I mean old school, not Carrie Underwood country. Sorry, mm-hmm. I know people love her and all that, but she's in a different ranking, in my opinion. Ella Langley is. She's only 25 years old.
Correct.
And I remember when I told you this, you go, oh my God, I interviewed her. I'm like, I would die. That's how much I am like a fangirl. So anyway.
So for those not familiar with Ella Langley, the first way we got to meet her was when she did a duet with Riley Green.
Love
that
it.
Said, Excuse me. You look like you
I
love
that song.
Me. And that's when I had the opportunity to meet her and interview her. Now her new album, Dandelion, Choosing Texas, has broken all kinds of records. And
all
I was trying
kinds.
To pull up some of the records that it broke. But she beat a record set by Taylor Swift and Beyonce for that Choosing Texas song because it was at the top of all of the charts, not just country music.
Right, not just country. Mm-hmm. I think... I predict she is not only the next hot big thing, but she has staying power.
Staying power, exactly. And she also brought back bangs because her bangs are just adorable. I saw a picture of her without bangs just the other day, and it was almost like I couldn't recognize her. I mean, I saw a beautiful woman, but it wasn't that woman. She just looks so different. I love the fact that her album that she just came out with is called Dandelion. You know, I have a very big fondness for dandelions. I only have one tattoo and it's a dandelion. I love...
Wait. Stop right there.
What?
Where is your tattoo?
It's on my side.
And is it big or small?
It's from...
Oh, that's big.
It's pretty big.
Did
it
hurt?
You didn't know that?
No. Did it hurt?
It did hurt. It was... But I got it when my daughter left for college. It was my empty nest tattoo. And because a dandelion, you know, those little seeds, they fly off and they
right.
start their own.
Right, right.
So I have two. It's a dandelion with two of the seeds blowing off of it.
Oh, my
gosh.
Those
are my kids.
Oh, so you must really love this album.
I love this album. And I love the song Dandelion. It kind of has a little different theme. It's more about it being a wild flower. But I just, I do. I really love it. And well, I love her. So Ella Langley, if you're not familiar, she's one of the things on Chris's radar.
Oh, yeah. And all the guys are called Ella Fellas. I think that's the cutest thing.
I didn't know
thing.
That.
Oh, there's guys of all ages that are going on doing videos of them dancing and singing to her music, and they're called Ella Fellas. And I just
love
think
it.
The whole thing is so cute. So I told my daughter, because she lives in the state of Tennessee, I have to see Ella Langley. And she's like, you and everybody else, Mom.
Yep, exactly.
So anyway.
Exactly.
So what's on yours?
Okay, so I have several things, but in the entertainment world, there are a couple of different shows that we have been binging, but one that we found, and it actually is not new. It's 6 seasons long, and it's on PBS, believe it or not.
Ooh.
And it's called Miss Scarlet and the Duke. And I'm a big Downton Abbey kind of person. I love the Gilded Age, those kinds of
Me too.
Historical
I love the Gilded
dramas.
Age.
Well, this is very much like that in that it has the historic costumes. It's from way, way, way back in the day, and it happens in England, in London. But she's a detective, and he's the police commissioner, and
oh, I love that.
Romance. Will they, won't they? There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
She's sassy as can be. It's super cute. There are 6 seasons. And I did not think I could ever get my husband to watch one of these period pieces with me. But even he loves it. And every
Ooh.
Time she says something cute or sassy, he's like, ah, Miss Scarlet. Oh, Miss Scarlet.
Oh, so I have to watch that.
Yeah,
I love period pieces.
Check it out. And there's plenty of it. You know, there's a 7th season being worked on right now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, there's plenty of it to enjoy if you're looking for something. If you like Gilded Age, if you
like
Downton
Abbey.
I love
all that stuff, Gilded Age.
And then this
Age.
Is even better because it's a detective series, so there's always mystery. So it's great. It's got some good characters in it. Okay, so what about you? What else is on your radar?
Okay, this is recent as of not last night, the night before last night. I didn't even tell you about this one yet. It's called Sky King Panic in the Sky. And it's on Hulu, at least in the United States. That's where I watched it. And it's fascinating. You have to watch this.
What is it, a documentary?
It's a documentary, and it's about, I think there's like three little episodes. I mean, they're not that long, but it's about a 2018 incident where a Horizon Air worker, he was a sky agent. Like, he just worked on the ground, like, with the little mm-hmm. things that waves in the planes and takes the luggage out and all that. His name was Richard Bebo Russell, and he stole a turboprop plane from the SeaTac airport. Never learned how to fly, doesn't know anything about it. And he stole this plane, and they have all the original audio from the tower to him, all of it. In this documentary, so you hear, and what they do is they go back to tell you how normal this guy was. He was like homecoming king, and he was like this normal guy that everybody loved, like the nicest, sweetest guy. And what the documentary does, it not only explores what he did, but explores why he did it. How can someone so normal, so loved by everybody, just snap?
I think I remember this story. It was in Florida, right?
No, it was in...
I don't remember the story, obviously, then.
Alaska?
Okay.
Yeah, like Hawaii, someplace... No, not in Hawaii. But it, I mean, I don't remember exactly. It was somewhere rural, though. You know what I mean? And it explores not only focusing on what he did, but the human story behind it, because they interview his entire family. He had all these brothers, sister, mother, aunt, friends. They got all his best friends to say, this is not him. This is never in a million years. And then on the live videos, I mean, audio they have, it says, like he says, I just don't want to live anymore. And I don't know how to fly this plane, but I'm doing it. And I don't think I want to land it, you know, because they're like, we can help you try to land it. And he's like, I just don't want to, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't. It was so good, so sad, because they didn't just focus on this crazy guy stealing this airplane. Like, something went terribly wrong in his life that nobody picked up on. So okay. It was really good. So my husband wow. watched that, and it was amazing to see that this guy could fly an airplane without ever learning to fly an airplane.
Wow.
And to steal it. Can you imagine? There goes the guy.
I cannot yeah. imagine. I simply
yeah.
can't.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that okay. that was on my radar. And I love, okay. you know, I love a documentary. So
I know you do.
Yeah.
So my next two things are not entertainment world related at all. They're just little things I've been into since we last spoke. And I don't know why I got back into this habit. It's not a great habit, but it's not going to kill me. I mean, there will be things that will kill me far
Uh-oh.
Before this ever does.
Now I'm nervous.
The crispy Diet Coke. Have you okay. You that know, really so, good, sharp.
That's so funny you've been saying this.
Yummy Diet Coke. I mean, I know that the kids sometimes now are calling Diet Cokes fridge cigarettes, refrigerator cigarettes, because, like, it's just not great for you, but you just can't help it. But I just, lately, I don't know, I just feel like, more than I care to admit, I've been stopping on my way home and going okay. through a drive-through for a crispy Diet Coke on ice, and not Coke Zero, which I know everyone likes okay. better. I like the diet.
Last July, I started doing that, and I didn't tell anyone. It was like I was hiding crack cocaine or something. Like, I would throw the thing underneath a big pile of stuff in the garbage so no one could see that I went and got a Diet Coke. I haven't had Diet Coke in, I would say, 20 years. I'm not joking. Like, I used to drink it all the time and then just quit.
Same thing.
And, you know, I quit when they're like, you can clean your toilet with Diet Coke, and there's cleans it perfectly. And I'm like, I don't think I should be drinking something that can clean a toilet bowl. But anyway, 6 months ago, last July, I'll never forget, I started drinking Diet Coke again, but no one knew. No one. Nobody. Not one person. And then, almost like a confessional, I was in the car with my daughter. I go, I have something to confess. And she goes, what? I go, I'm ashamed. I'm really ashamed. And she goes, what? I go, I started drinking Diet Coke and I've been hiding it. And she's like, I can't believe you're drinking, like, gave me grief about it. And I was like, I told you because I wanted to feel better about it, and you're making me feel worse. There is nothing like a Diet Coke. For me, from a Gate gas station, but okay. anyway.
But do you like it on ice, or do you want
crunchy ice?
The crunchy ice.
Yes.
Or in a pinch. And see, I did go through a phase when I had my hysterectomy many years ago, and I was on pain medication, which made me nauseous. So the only thing that would take that away was a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Ooh, I love Dr.
out of the
Pepper
bottle
too.
With that.
Yeah.
When you opened it, so it was super sharp, like really sharp.
Yeah.
And that, so I kind of got into that for a while, then I started getting away from it. And this is just kind of, this one, it's not about the bottle. It has to be on the rocks.
Oh, yeah.
Crispy Pebble Ice, which is.
Yes, Pebble Ice.
I got a Pebble Ice machine for Christmas
last
year.
Oh, you did?
So, yes.
Oh, my God.
How
I'm so
not
jealous.
I put that in items I swear by on any
Yes, because I would love one of those.
Oh, you have to get one. It's from Amazon. You have to get one.
I have to get one, especially now that I'm hiding my Diet Coke addiction. I only drink one, and not even every day anymore because I felt so guilty. It's like once a week maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But when I tell you, when you have that first Diet Coke that you haven't had in like 20, you're like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever tasted. I mean, honestly. Yeah.
There's just something about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
That's so funny you brought that up.
Okay. Do you have another radar
thing? I have one last one. Okay. And you all know I don't read books. I'm not proud of it.
I don't, quote, air quote, read books.
Right.
But you, like, listen to books.
Well, I sometimes. Actually listened to this book because my daughter was telling me how great of a book it was. And then I saw someone else talking about it going, oh my God, this is the best, you know, book on the whole Bernie Madoff. His daughter-in-law, Stephanie Madoff Mack, wrote this book telling, it's called The End of Normal. And it tells from before it happened, the whole crash, before they found out he would, you know, what their life was like, what was going on, her husband's job with her, his dad, like everything, all the way to when they found out, the reactions, everything, like step by, she leaves not one thing out. And when I tell you not one thing out, not one thing out.
Is this the wife of the son that took his life?
Yes. Yes. Ooh, yes.
Wow. And it she's
angry. Like, and yeah, kind of like still really angry with her mother-in-law, still very angry with like his first wife, who he had two kids with prior, on how they were dealing with everything after his, after her husband's death, on suicide, on what it did to her life. She had two kids with him, and one of them was like still a baby, so it was just devastating. And she just goes into such detail on even writing Bernie Madoff in prison to get it all off her chest on what a horrible person he was. And then he wrote her back like some nonchalant letter, like, you know, not even accepting really what he had done. And so I highly recommend it. I listened to the whole book in literally two days. It was just so fascinating. Anyway, I also love anything like, I watch American Greed, anything where people are really greedy. It just fascinates me that you can do that to people.
And I forgot you did tell me this was a book. So I went to go look at the documentary thinking, okay, well, I want to have this so we can chat about it. And my husband just randomly was watching it. So I assumed, oh, you know, it must be on his radar because it's on Christine's radar. And so I started watching that and I kind of got bored from it. But one of the things that he kept saying was Bernie Madoff himself. And this is no excuse, but he kept saying, hey, I was just playing off other people's greed.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, and because my husband and I had this whole conversation last night about it. I said, well, what if our guy that we love that handles our retirement funds and everything was doing really, really well, we might say, hey, here's some more.
Right.
Here's some more money. Here's some more money. Is that greed or is that just wanting to be a part of something?
I don't think it's greed. I mean, I think it's trusting somebody with the most important thing, which is your retirement and your financial livelihood that you're planning on retiring with down the road, or giving your kids inheritance or whatever you want to say. I think that's why I'm fascinated by him. I think he's the most horrible person ever. And the book goes into the whole kind of lifestyle they were living before he got caught. Just like how over the top it was with the houses and the yachts and the private jets. And you know what I mean? It was terrible. But she was really good. And she reads the book herself. So you really get that really emotional. Mm. Like, there's a few times where you hear like she's getting all choked up, especially when she talks about her husband's death. It's really, really sad. So anyway, that's on my radar. It was definitely a good listen to. I'd say read, but I didn't read it.
Okay, so we're going to leave off there. I have a few things left, but we're recording two episodes today, so I'm going to save the rest of mine for our next episode, which right now, though, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about those two senses that we have, our sense of smell and our sense of hearing where it comes to music, and how and why they trigger us so much, and what you guys are saying are some of the smells and some of the songs that really take you back. We're going to be right back. Welcome back. So we are talking today on this episode about smells and songs that really bring you back. Now, I did a little bit of research, and I don't want to bore anybody with the science behind it. You can certainly Google all of that. But there are scientific reasons why those things cut through all of the noise in our brain the way that they do. We actually are feeling something versus just remembering something. You know, if you read a book, you see something on a page, it might bring you back, but not the way smelling something or hearing a song will, right?
Do you agree? Absolutely. Absolutely. I see it happening all the time throughout my day.
So I posted in our Ladies Only Uncluttered and Unfiltered Facebook group, which we always say, please do join. We will have to let you into that. We do that so we can gatekeep just a little bit. Every now and again, someone gets on there and tries to sell something, and then they get booted out of the group. And we just want everyone to feel safe in that group. But anyway, it's a picture of a woman, And she has the very, very tight multicolored curlers in from a home perm. And the caption on the picture says, I can literally smell this.
Picture. Oh, yeah.
And I thought to myself, I can too. But what are some other smells that the minute you smell them, they bring you back immediately? Mine, a lot of you guys said, Love's Baby Soft. If I smell, I can smell it right now, that Love's Baby Soft perfume.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? No. A lot of you guys did say that. But if I smelled it right now, it would immediately transport me back and I can remember it. What would you say is yours?
I say for me, there's two. One, okay, you all know I was a flight attendant in my previous life, I call it. And one flight, some woman was wearing Giorgio Elizabeth Arden perfume, okay? And, you know, when you're in an airplane, there ain't no getting away from it. So back in the day, you could smoke on the airplane too. So mix the Elizabeth Arden Giorgio perfume or Giorgio perfume. I don't know if it was Elizabeth. Mixed in with cigarettes. And I literally felt like I was going to puke the whole entire flight. So one day I was in an elevator somewhere and someone walked in that elevator with that perfume on, an older woman. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be sick. Like literally, it brought me right back to being a flight attendant on the airplane of the woman who stunk up the whole entire airplane mixed with cigarette smoke. So I think perfumes, because I also wore Polo perfume in college, which I would never in a million years wear now because I don't like any smells or fragrances at all, which I've told you about. But if I smell that now, goes right back to the college dorm room, you know, where I lived, what my apartment looked like. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So some of the other things that you guys were saying on our Facebook page, Tony said, and this is no wonder she remembered the name. She said, ah, yes, the dreaded Tony home perm. I couldn't have given you the name Tony, but I remember that was one of the brands.
Yeah.
The other one was Ogilvy. A couple of you remembered a name brand of those home perms called Ogilvy. Gina Tay.
Oh, Gina Tay. Gina Tay, I definitely remember.
Now, here's one that is a Love's Fresh Lemon body splash. Tina talked about her farm, and she showed us a picture of her farm. I guess, you know, sometimes it's just not even something that's pop culture related. It's just specific to her. She grew up on a farm, so when she's smelling a farm, it's going to bring her back there. For me, another one is hot asphalt. If I'm ever walking somewhere and it's so hot that you can smell that asphalt, that brings me right back to childhood of playing outside with my friends. I can picture being on a bike.
Well, that's how I feel about fresh cut grass.
Okay.
Whenever I smell that, it reminds me of being at my grandparents' house in the summers and just the smell of someone mowing their lawn. It just smelled so good. I don't know why. It just smelled so outdoorsy and fresh. I agree. I think those type of smells.
And Holly mentioned something along those lines as well because she said orange blossoms because she's from Central Florida.
Right.
And so orange blossoms in the air. And
baby oil, even if you go and put old school baby oil and you open the cap, you're like, oh my God, I remember being at the beach slathering my body in that, but you would never even use it now for it. You know what I mean?
Of like, of course, unless so, you're P. Diddy.
Yeah. Yeah. right.
Parties. But yeah, that's so true. Actually, I have baby oil here in my office because we did a little project with it where we painted seashells because it makes them really shine.
Oh.
And just an FYI.
Oh.
And as soon as I opened it, it brought me back to those days in the 80s.
Yep.
Tanning on a silver blanket with baby oil, which is obviously the worst idea ever. But
yeah. Well, and that's also how I feel about music. I feel like yesterday I was in the car and I Think I Love You by David Cassidy came on. And all of a sudden, and I knew we were doing this, I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing it. I'm like screaming in the car, dancing to it, going, I remember having that, my brother being, everybody was in love with him and like just screaming loudly in your bedroom to the music or with your brothers dancing around to this song. I'm like, it is weird how... If you ask me what I did last week, and I say this all the time, I could not tell you. But I can tell you what my bedroom looked like, what, you know, anything that brings you back to a moment, what dress I was wearing, how my hair looked. I mean, immediately.
Well, I could tell you every word to Rapper's Delight, and I'm not the only one who could do that, because on our Facebook page, one of you all, I'm going to find out who it was right now, said that was the song that just brings you back. It transports you.
Yep.
Then there are songs like that make me feel like I have to hurry up and get my roller skates laced up and get out on the floor. Things like, you know, Michael Jackson. Let Her In is one that comes on Sirius XM sometimes, the John Travolta song.
You gotta
song,
let her in. Oh, yeah, totally, totally. Rex Smith, we've talked about him before.
It makes me feel angsty.
Yeah,
so angsty inside.
You just remember exactly where you were when someone asked you to dance to a certain song. You're like, oh my God, I remember when he asked me to dance and I was dying to dance with him. And he, you know what I mean? Like, it just immediately brings you back to a time in your life that just seems so much more carefree.
There's a song by Styx, The Best of Times, and I get that sad feeling in my stomach that I got when I watched this girl Tracy and this guy Craig couple skate to it when I had a crush on Craig when I was in like eighth grade. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember the song I watched them couple skate to, and it brought me back to that feeling of like, I'm not good enough. I'm not cute enough.
I'm telling
She's
you.
So much better than me.
Yep. I am telling you.
And music will do that to
you. Yes. I mean, anything. Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Carpenters. I can go on and on. It's like, I remember exactly what I was doing the first time I heard that song. You know, no matter what it is, you just remember what you were doing. It's weird how your brain stores information.
It really is. It's like a key that unlocks certain doors.
Yep.
So do us a favor, if you have not ever done so, join our Ladies Only Uncluttered and Unfiltered Facebook group and comment. Both of those are, you might have to scroll a little bit depending on how recently someone else commented on it, but go ahead and comment on those. Let us know what is the smell. And then in a separate comment area, you can put what is the song that just brings you back immediately. So we're going to take another quick break. We're going to come back with an organizational tip, since Christine is indeed a professional organizer. And yesterday, the day that we're recording this is actually the day it is. So I don't know why I said yesterday. Today, in real world time, is National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day. So that's going to be our topic when we come back. We'll be right back. June is Men's Health Month, and it's time to talk about what really matters. Mental health isn't weakness, it's strength. But too many men are told to tough it out, push it down, and stay silent. That ends now. 1 in 4 adults, including men, experience a mental health condition. And Hearts for Minds is here to break the stigma. Whether it's you, your brother, your dad, or your friend, mental health deserves attention. Visit heartsforminds.org to access resources, connect with care, and start the conversation that could change everything. You don't have to do this alone. Visit heartsforminds.org. Okay, we are back with our final segment in this episode of Uncluttered and Unfiltered, and it is National Clean Out Your Medicine Cabinet Day today when we're recording this. So walk us through this, because I know it's going to start with taking everything out and getting ready to do some purging.
Yeah, I've been actually doing a lot of this with older clients as well, getting them more organized for, you know, what they are actually taking and all the medicines they've kept that they never ever use. So of course, whether it's a medicine cabinet, whether you have an area in your linen closet that you keep medications in, your bathroom in a drawer, it doesn't matter where you have it. It kind of all goes along the same line of course, you have to take every single thing out, every medication, gather it all in one spot, and start looking at the expiration dates. And there's different philosophies, so you can go ahead and ChatGPT that or Google it or whatever you want to do. But one thing I can say is there are safe ways to dispose of medications. And you can ask your pharmacist. There's take-back locations. There's different ways to get rid of prescription medication. So ask your pharmacy. They'll tell you exactly how to do that. And once you've gotten rid of all the medications that are old, expired, have a teeny tiny bit of cough syrup left in them, whatever it is, what you want to do is decide, okay, now I'm going to organize everything back to the way it hopefully will stay. And the first thing you want to do is make a list of what you got rid of that you need. So did you need more Band-Aids or Neosporin or whatever it is you need, regular cough medicine from the drugstore? Make a list so that you're replenishing it, because if you don't, when you need it, you're going to go, why did I throw that out even though it was expired, because I'm dying over here and I need this medicine. So don't wait until you're sick to get what you need. Another thing I like to do is sort and label things. So things for headaches, for stomach problems, first aid, keeping all the necessary first aid items together. It just makes it easier, not only for you, but if you have a family or your spouse, so they can grab what they need and just put it back in. So I personally am a big bin user, whether it's in a drawer or on a shelf, because I have grandkids. And that's another thing. You need to be able to have a system, if you have grandkids or young kids that are going to be around, that you can grab the items and put them high up on a shelf. And then when they leave, you can grab them and put them back down, because you don't want anything like that to happen. So I like to keep them in bins and label them. What organizing products do you need to get them organized? If you're doing it in a medicine cabinet, there are organizing products to keep them all organized. If it's a drawer, there are drawer inserts to keep them separated and organized. And like I said, there's bins. So there's different ways of doing it depending on your space. And the key to keeping them organized is to purge on a regular basis. I purge medications at least every, I'd say, 2 to 3 months, because it just, you know, you're going to keep getting more in, especially as you get older. It's not like you're going to be getting less medicine. So keeping it purged just keeps everything, you know, neat, organized, and ready to go when you need the medications.
Okay. Good information. Okay, so there you have it. You've learned some things about our brains. You've figured out what's on our radar, and now you can organize your medicine cabinet in the time it takes you to probably have listened to this whole podcast.
Right.
You could have started from the beginning and done it all the way through. So your assignments are, in addition to the medicine cabinet thing, of course, would be to please do tell one friend about our podcast, our little podcast. And if you want to follow us on all the socials, we are on all the socials. But the one that we love the most is our Ladies Only page, where you can just send us a quick request and we will bring you into that, and you can post. And some ladies post some really funny things, and we love that. Or some ladies post some really serious questions, and we welcome that as well. Eventually, we can even add a Ask an Organizer part to this piece of it too. So if you have a question for Christine, just know it might end up as this final segment of the of the podcast. But until then, that Tylenol you bought in 1985, you can let it go.
And don't look back.
June is Men's Health Month, and it's time to talk about what really matters. Mental health isn't weakness, it's strength. But too many men are told to tough it out, push it down, and stay silent. That ends now. 1 in 4 adults, including men, experience a mental health condition. And Hearts for Minds is here to break the stigma. Whether it's you, your brother, your dad, or your friend, mental health deserves attention. Visit heartsforminds.org to access resources, connect with care, and start the conversation that could change everything. You don't have to do this alone. Visit heartsforminds.org.